You're going to rant on the show?
I'm going to rant on the show. I mean, if the opportunity presents itself.
It's going to come up. I'm going to yell rant, and then you're going to go.
Play some funky music, too.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan. In tubing in Germany, thankfully. And with me, as always, is...
Adam from Vancouver.
Rant.
No, I can't rant yet. I'm going to save it.
You have a rant? You have it chambered?
Yeah, it's loaded.
All right. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. It's Thursday evening for me here. What time is it there?
Friday morning.
It's real early there. I'm trying to give you an excuse if you're lacking some energy.
I'm going to phone this one in. Whoever's listening, pretend it's the phone because I'm phoning it in.
You had a late night last night.
Yeah, I got home not very long ago. It's Mardi Gras here.
The German version.
Well, it's Mardi Gras everywhere. Isn't it? Isn't today, well, the whole season, I don't know if it's actually Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Marty means Tuesday.
Sure.
In Spanish.
Yeah.
And, but no, they do the whole thing here called fashing, which is, I think we probably talked about it a year ago on the show. So PS, just go back and
just
listen.
Just go back. Listen to the fashing episode.
All right. Good night, everybody. Drive safe. So they do a crazy number of parades and stuff starting like November 11th for some reason. The whole sort of fashion season starts, I think. And they have fashion meetings and they all plan their parade. And it's the same parade, they have one in every little town. And then, of course, they have giant parties. Like it's like a Halloween costume party kind of thing.
Right.
Where everyone dresses up.
So what happened to you?
Oh, I went as beach guy.
To the party?
Yeah, I was supposed to go as, I don't know, some other guy who had something else. But the dude who had the costumes has to fly to Russia, and then there's a strike at the airport.
This is way too complicated.
I know. Now he has to take like a 48-hour train ride to Russia instead.
I just asked what you did last night.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was out very late, and then I missed my train. So here we are.
Okay, so you haven't slept?
Mm-mm. All about the show, man.
All right.
So, rant.
Well, I went
to... You want a better lead-in than that?
No, that's fine.
I don't even know it. I don't
know
what's coming.
I had this burning desire to tell a story about what I witnessed tonight. So I went with my wife... to a performance at a gymnasium. She's a teacher. My wife is a school teacher, and her school put on like a dance night where I guess they had been practicing some hip hop routines. All of the kids in the elementary school from kindergarten up until grade 7, they'd each in their sort of, I guess, I don't know, units of maybe 2 grades at a time, had been practicing for the last 6 days with this hip hop instructor a number of dance routines. So this was a night for the parents and teachers.
Did you say how old they were?
What's that?
Did you say how old they were? I missed it.
Anywhere from kindergarten to grade 7. So.
Oh, the whole school?
Yeah, the whole school.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought it was her class. Okay.
No. So this was everyone, including her class. But they each had their routines. And, of course, parents were invited to come and to watch. And so, of course, that brings with it a bazillion photographers. And a lot of SLRs, that's for sure. And the part that drove me mad, I mean, there was... I don't know if what we want to tag them. I'm going to come up with the term, and maybe it's been used, photo fouls. There was a number of photo fouls. But the biggest one that drove me nuts was, and maybe we've talked about this on previous shows. I can't remember.
Hang on. Let me just get in here. We're going to call that a photo pause.
Okay.
Like a faux pas.
A faux pas, photo pas.
You know what?
Okay.
Once this came out of my mouth, did not sound as cool.
Okay. I think photo fouls better.
Yeah, let's go back and pretend that I didn't say what I said.
Okay. Right. So anyways, the one that kept driving me nuts was this is a very large gymnasium. Okay?
And super light, too. Like they have tons of light pumping in.
Yeah, very dimly lit. And people are sitting Well, they're sitting probably, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 20 meters from where their target is, for their subjects are. So they're sitting
roughly
well
70
back.
Feet. 70 feet for the
yeah, sure, 70 feet.
In America.
The part that was driving me nuts was that I didn't see a single external flash, and everybody had their pop-up flash on, and it was just, I mean, you're blinding everybody around you, but at the same time, you're not making your pictures any better. And so I was very disturbed by the pop-up flash show that we got tonight. So that was it. That was my rant. It obstructed the view of other parents. Please don't do this, especially in an environment where you're looking at a large gymnasium and that pop-up flash is going to do nothing but light up the three people beside you.
Why didn't you get up on the stage and just yell, "Don't you listen to the two hosers," and then flip a table over and storm out?
Yeah, I should have done that. I actually bought a few business cards, but then I didn't hand any out. I was just too bothered. Oh, and there was another thing. This isn't a photo-related thing, but okay, so I got there early because I was with my wife, and she's a teacher, and I was standing, and I picked out a very nice spot at the back of the gymnasium to stand, and I was probably there with another older fellow for a good 10 minutes before the show started. A minute before the show started, some dad, right? He basically walks right and stands directly in front of us. And he wasn't 4 feet tall. He was like 6'1". And
really?
Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to park it right here.
Thanks a lot, Abe Lincoln. You showed up late and now here you are.
And he was wearing a top hat.
Yeah. Man. You'd think Abe Lincoln wouldn't go to the theater anymore.
But, and you know what?
Lesson learned.
In my rage, I shouted, "Do you know who I am?" But really, I just walked around him and crawled down and sat next to my wife on the floor instead.
And later on, he was like, "Man, I totally stood in front of Lex Luthor. It was awesome." Can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he was plotting something against Superman. It was great. Hilarious.
This show is getting quickly derailed.
So what'd you shoot? Well, first of all, can I just tell you how exciting I am that the weather is no longer minus infinity here?
No, I've warmed up.
Oh, it's in the plus.
Plus what?
Plus stuff. I don't care. If anything plus feels like summer.
But you don't have icicles growing on your nipples anymore?
No, it's like plus two. And I was outside in my t-shirt because I was so excited. Honestly, it was just like every day of minus 15, minus 20. And I understand for our listeners in Calgary / Winnipeg, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they throw in the wind chill factor here, but it was cold. No longer cold. Anyway.
I'm glad for you.
All right. One thing I wanted to address that I forgot to mention last week. I don't like your attitude.
Okay.
No, it's not that. That's not it at all.
My attitude is very positive.
It is positive.
It's part of my New Year's resolution list. Yeah. Be more positive.
Yes. Yes. You should do that. Now,
it's not really on my list. I don't have a list.
I talked last week about the listener question when I was on Chris Marquardt's show.
Okay.
I think I mispronounced his name right there. I'm sorry, Chris, but it's been bugging me the whole week about the girl who doesn't want to try shooting video because I made it sound complicated.
Yeah, you ruined it for a lot of people.
I know. It's been really killing me, and I hope it's not true. I hope people want to go out and do it, because the thing I hate the most, and this is why the whole reason we do the show, is to sort of demythologize the whole process. Because
that word doesn't exist.
Yeah, demythologized. Look it up. Google it, man.
I can't spell it.
Google didn't even exist as a word until it did. Actually, it did, but they spell it different. But you know what Google is?
No.
One with 100 zeros behind it. True story. Anyways, so the whole point of this show is to demythologize everything and to make it accessible to everybody. And the same goes with the video. Because I always, for a long time, always hear these blowhards going on and on and on about how, you know, this whole film is so difficult, or anything is super difficult, and the only person who knows how to do it is me, so you should just go in a dark corner and weep. You shouldn't even shoot. Don't even try. It's so difficult that I've mastered it, and that's it.
Right.
I can't stand that, so... go try. It's not as hard as it sounds. And if I make it sound difficult, I apologize, and I'm going to try to go the other way and make it sound easy and do it. On the other hand, if you're hiring somebody, just hire me because I'm the expert.
Yeah, and you'll do it better.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah. Our buddy Don Komarechko got a job.
Okay.
At the Outdoor Photo Canada.
So now he's going to be a regular in there?
He's a regular contributor.
Okay.
He's going to be featured in the next episode, and this was just told that he's going to be a regular contributor to the magazine. So
he gets like a guaranteed spot? Is that how it works?
I'm not writing his biography, so I don't really know.
But what does that mean? You say he got a job. He kind of was employed by them before, was he not?
Well, he did a one-off, like a freelance gig.
Yeah.
With the Snowflake Pictures, and right. Then they liked it so much. I think they liked his appearance on the Two Hosers Photo Show so
yes,
much.
Yes, he put that in his what are they called, CV?
CV, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole world calls it CV except for us in Canada.
I call it a resume.
It's a resume. Yeah. I don't think they even call it resume in America.
I don't know.
I think it's a CV there as well. Well, resume, it's like French, right?
Right.
And I don't believe they speak French in America.
Only in France and Canada.
Royale with cheese. All right. What did you shoot this week?
I shot some pictures of skating. We went skating last week, so I took the new 30mm lens out skating.
How's that working in the skating rink?
Love it. Love it. Shot a lot at, F2, F1.8 and F2, and yep. An ISO 800.
Why did you shoot it at F1.2?
Sorry?
Why'd you shoot it at F1.4, 1.8?
So that I wouldn't have to use an external flash?
Because the hockey rinks are dark.
Exactly.
Are they dark?
Yeah. Pretty dark, and the lights are, well, it's a high ceilings, and the lights are way up high.
Yeah.
So I shot it at, I think most of the pictures I took were at an ISO of 1600, and then to get a decent enough shutter speed so I wouldn't get a whole bunch of blur when they're skating, I wanted a shutter speed in the ballpark of 500 to anywhere between 500 and 1,000, and sort of get that.
How fast do your kids skate?
Yeah, my kids are fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and potty trained.
Yes, and potty trained. If that doesn't make it on the cold open, then we should announce for sure that I am the greatest dad ever and potty trained my son in one day. So
all right, moving
there's
on.
That. There's that.
Yeah.
And he's I will still, lord it over my wife and all other parents that fail forever.
Oh, God, I would have a shirt made up.
Yeah. No, I already have a shirt.
Yeah, one day.
For ask each me, day of the week.
Ask me what took me one day. That's what the shirt should say. Yeah. Yeah. Or just so. One day, ask me. Yeah.
I had a new business card actually made up.
I can tell you every time from now on, whenever we're at a party together, I'm going to bring it up just sort of secretly in front of people. Like, oh, hey, Adam. Hey, quick question. Is Jack party trained? And then once you start your rant, I'll just leave.
Okay. It's a perfect setup. And I'm pretty sure that's a great way to meet chicks.
Oh, absolutely. I love a good party training story.
And by chicks, I mean women.
Right. Okay, so how was your shooting in the what have you there?
I think you got the gist. I took pictures. I like them.
What I meant to ask the question I meant to ask is how did you deal with the white balance in there?
I used the gray card that I got. So I took a gray card shot, and then I used the gray card to color correct.
Yeah, the pictures look good color, and because those I don't even know what they are. Like they used to be like. I don't know, sodium vapor lights or some sort of halogen. I don't even know what they are anymore. There's probably some kind of fluorescent.
Yeah, it's a pretty odd color.
Oh, it is terrible. Like, they even look a little bit blue to me.
Yeah, and sometimes they look blue. It's funny. They look different in different parts of the rink, too.
Yeah. Terrible.
So I use the gray card my wife got me for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Yep. And that's you know what? Fantastic. It's interesting because, you know, we do a lot of color correcting on our own photos. I think everybody who takes enough photos and who tinkers around in any of those post-production software programs kind of gets an idea of certain lighting conditions and how much of an adjustment needs to be made. When you start using the gray card, I usually look at how much of a correction it makes in the red greens and in the blue yellows. And it's unbelievable how much of a correction that it has to make under these conditions to get something that looks half decent.
Yes, especially in mixed lighting situations as well. Yeah. That's where it comes in, where you got the daylight coming in and you got, say, tungsten or something, and you're balancing it with a bunch of different lights, and you want to do the best you can. We'll do a great card episode because it's actually really, really handy.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah. Great.
That's it. What about you?
I shot some white background shots, but I just used my wall instead of a seamless background.
Okay. So I did that. How'd you do that?
It's a long story, so I'm just looking at the time and thinking,
maybe we'll move on. I don't want to know anyways.
Yeah, we'll save it for next week.
Okay, background episode.
I'll tell you, well, it required a couple flashes, but... and I'll tell you all about the monitor calibration and how important that is, and how I just about cried.
That sounds riveting.
Oh, I know. Oh, tune in next week when Alan cries.
And talks about monitor calibration.
Yeah, only to be topped by potty training stories. All right, let's talk about this week's photo challenge. I skipped ahead.
Okay.
What was this week's? Did I give this week's photo challenge?
I think you did. It was all about last week's episode, Bounce. We were going to bounce some light.
Isn't that Ben Affleck movie?
I don't know.
No, no one saw it. No one knows that one.
Is there a movie?
Yeah, it's called Bounce.
Oh.
I think. I think it's him. Or Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know. I'm not in charge. I'm not doing any of their biography. So, all right, let's talk about who's I suggested it, right?
You suggested it.
Yeah, let's do your picture first.
Okay. So I put two in there. I put the exact same picture, as close as I could make the same picture with and without the bounce. So I was in manual so that I could get the settings the same for both. And then I bounced the light using a big square aluminum foil made bounce board.
Did you make it specifically for the challenge?
No, I made it about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago when we talked about trying out bounce.
Anticipation of the challenge. Good thinking.
Yeah, so I was already prepped and ready for this challenge.
I like how you skate to where the puck's going to be.
Yes. Yeah. That's a Wayne Gretzky quote, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay, well, let's look at Lisa here.
Okay, so there's my wife, Lisa, in our kitchen. So to her camera left, what's creating the light on her hair is window light. So I've got the window light coming in and lighting her from the left. And then I'm standing, because again, I'm getting the sunlight coming through the window, which is hitting her, but then I'm directing a bounce board, and I didn't have a helper here, so I've got the bounce board in one hand, directing the light back at her face with the camera in my other hand. So this was a one-man show here.
Nice. I'm going to entitle this picture, I Married Poorly, the Lisa Schwartz story. Just looking, don't you think she married down, to be honest, if you're being perfectly honest?
No, I'm pretty good looking.
Wow. I'm just saying, she could do better. Okay, let's talk about the picture.
What's that?
Let's talk about the picture.
I mean, it's a pretty simple blue background. She's wearing blue. All I saw was opportunity. She was standing in the kitchen. She was, I'm not sure, ready to go somewhere because she was, you know, girls' night. This was girls' night. She was going to see a chick flick with some girlfriends for Valentine's Day, where they all get together and see a movie that their husbands won't take them to. So she was doing that, and I thought, oh my gosh, nice light coming in the window, and it was hitting our water cooler, and I thought, I'll stand my aluminum bounce board in front of the water cooler, and I'll take her picture, and she won't object because she's all ready to go out. So,
this is the kitchen.
Yeah, this is just in our kitchen.
In my head, I always thought it was the other room there, but now, yeah, I got it.
Yeah. So the other picture, no bounce picture, like the differences that I saw in the, obviously, are the light that you get in her face, but also if you look in the background, how much better the background lighting is in the bounce version versus the no bounce.
So
the cupboards in the back, the blue on the wall, just everything is lit up much better, not just her face in the bounce versus the no bounce.
This is what I like about bounce, is that the differences are subtle.
Yeah.
Well, most times, if you do it, you know, in this fashion, it's because when you're looking at it in, you know, in live in person, it's oftentimes you don't really see a difference in the, like, you see a little bit of a difference, but you think, wow, it's not really worth it for that amount of work. But then you see the pictures, and it's such a big jump in quality that it's hard to describe. When you compare them side by side, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I was pretty happy.
Yeah,
with the difference that I got from such. And again, I don't do this. This isn't something that I really ever do. I've used this version of Bounce one other time, and it was for another challenge. So it's not something that I've practically made use of, mostly because I don't walk around carrying these aluminum bounce boards with me where I go.
Right.
So it had to be a situation where, you know, the light was coming in, I identified it, and the bounce boards were close enough by that I could do it all quickly. So,
you know what we should patent is a set of t-shirts. Your t-shirt would be like a shiny bounce t-shirt, and your wife's would just be a gray card t-shirt.
It sounds like a great idea.
And then you can always color balance.
It could be reversible.
Oh, reversible t-shirt. That is perfect. Well, yours would be white and silver.
Yeah.
And then gray card. And then gray card on the inside, the whole Roy G. Biv rainbow. That'd be perfect.
It could even be reversible. And then, you know, like those old K-Way jackets where you zip out the hood? You could just zip out the gray card.
I feel like we've said too much.
Okay.
Patent. Can you just yell patent? and then that's it. It's yours.
It's ours. Nobody touch that. If we see that, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, my God. You won't do anything about it, like for Abe Lincoln? You'll just quietly cower in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. I did the same thing as you. I used a one-man band myself.
Okay.
I didn't hire an assistant to come and shoot family snapshots.
Right.
But I had shot almost the exact same photo but of my daughter with the window light coming in, except we had hard, hard, hard sunlight coming in. And I shot a series of three photos to show that, which I liked the pictures, and I think I sent it to you.
Yeah.
But in the end, my challenge picture is I wanted to use the snow outside.
Right.
So we went and I had my wife and daughter stand on the patio.
Yep.
Undercover. And shot with the snow in the background because I wanted to give an example of how this works and how you can balance the light out by using the bounce. So there you go.
Okay.
What else you want to know?
I like it.
You see the difference though?
Yes.
When I was shooting it, as I mentioned earlier, I could barely see the difference in person about the bounce light and the no fill. But when
it's
you see
very
the picture.
Obvious, very obvious when you see it in full resolution.
Yes. So there's that. Not much more to say about my photo. I guess just that I exposed for the background.
Yeah.
So that would be proper. And then I basically, with my left hand, brought this one's a silver bounce.
Yeah.
I brought the silver bounce in as close as I could to balance the light out.
And I think the point that should be made with both of ours is that these are situations where it's not that difficult. If you do have, I mean, you have one of those pop out bounce cards that you could store in your camera bag, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where you could just pull that out, and here's a perfect situation where you can just use some fill via the bounce board.
I doing these couple shots this week, I actually want to use this more.
Yeah.
Because it looks so much more natural. I tried a couple of shots using fill flash and they look terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I left it was the on camera flash because I just wanted to do a quick example of what you would do in everyday kind of walking around. And it was terrible. It just the color difference was awful, and I can't say enough bad about it. So I was really happy to use the bounce.
I agree. I think I will use it more.
In the other example that I'll post to my daughter in her crib, her playpen. That wasn't the issue. Hey, Alan, where is she sitting? can you clear something up for us? That was some hard, hard sunlight coming in. And so the top picture, the one I like the best, is the white bounce. Is the white side of the board.
Okay.
The middle one is no bounce at all, you can see. And the bottom one is the silver. So you can see the silver looks a little bit much to me. versus the white, I think, is a nice, subtle fill.
I'm not looking at it, so.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, good work.
All right, well, let's move on then.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Going back to bed.
How you got home last night.
Yeah, I missed the last train. All right, this week's topic, it's practical light.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Practical, it's like, well, you know what? I don't actually know now. So, let's just take 5 minutes and Google it. No, I've heard people talk about it as being like ambient light. Like, it's basically the ambient light, except for me, it always meant basically using existing light, but not necessarily Mother Nature's light.
Okay.
That got convoluted. Yeah. We're talking about how to light with like lamps and how to bring lighting to your photos without using a flash or spending a whole bunch of money on lights.
Okay.
You don't like spending money.
I have spent all the money already, and I have multiple flashes and umbrellas and stands. So too late. I've spent it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I did the budget version, and I love them. So this is just another way to get lights.
Right. So this is when we talk about practical light, it's basically now you can use your actual lights to do it, your actual flashes and whatnot. But whenever I light something in film or in photos, I try to make it look like practical light.
Okay.
I try to make it look like it's coming from somewhere. It's motivated, like it's how it exists in real life, except better. So in today we'll talk a little bit about how to use your existing lights. Like do you ever use just basically your lights in your house?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
What do you like shooting with better, the regular light bulbs or those fluorescents?
I believe I like the regular light bulbs better.
Hard to find now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
That's the sad part is I miss, we've talked about it on the show before, but I miss these tungsten bulbs, the old time, what they say were energy hogs, but I don't think they were, compared to your wife's hair dryer.
And straightening iron.
Right. Exactly. So I miss those tungsten bulbs because they gave off a really nice full color, whereas fluorescent lights don't. They're like they miss certain colors in the spectrum. Like and so the old fluorescents you used to like you had in school, they'd make you look very green, for instance.
Right.
And so they actually make gels specifically to shoot in fluorescent, but now with the compact fluorescents, the CFLs. Which means something else in Canada. It's kind of a crapshoot because you end up getting all kinds, because you can get the warm ones, you can get the daylight balanced ones. They're difficult to shoot with. So
okay, yeah, no, I feel you.
I like we have some of the warm ones in our house. We bought some of the ones like the compact fluorescents that are they look like real bulbs.
Yeah.
So I recommend getting those if you're going to go ahead and use them for shooting because they tend to give off a nice color. The only other difficulty with them is you can't really use them on a dimmer switch. Have you ever tried that?
No.
Okay. See, we're straying right into Adam territory here.
Yes.
This is all...
Yeah, I'm so familiar with all of this.
Okay.
You're speaking French to me.
Right.
Resume. But not pastry French.
Right. Okay.
Because I know about that.
Okay. Je suis Canadien.
Croissant.
The back in the old days, you used to be able to buy, you probably still can buy, like a photo bulb, which would be end up being like, it's like a regular light bulb, except for it's like 500 watts or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the bulbs in your house are now probably... Well, the equivalent of like 60 to 100 watts, right?
Yeah, yeah. Most of the ones we have are 60.
So you could buy the ones that were like, I don't know what they were, probably 300, 500, whatever they were. They were for photos, except for they wouldn't last very long. They'd burn out pretty quickly.
Okay.
The good news is it's not necessary anymore because with the high ISOs, the acceptable high ISOs that we talked about last week, it is you can shoot with such low wattage. It's fantastic. So don't just completely ignore that I mentioned a photo bulb, but they don't even exist anymore as far as you're concerned.
Okay, they never existed as far as I was concerned.
No. What show are we on? What happened?
58.
Okay. Oh, the two hosers. All right. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about, before we get into how to, you know, use your actual lights, what if we want to make our own lights? Like, what if we want to basically supplement our lights? What's the number one tip that I'm going to give? Can you see the future, Adam? Go.
About making your own lights?
Yeah. What's a great photo light?
Are you talking about that IKEA lantern thing?
Yep.
Okay, the IKEA lantern thing, which I've never done, but I've seen your pictures taken with it, and it looks pretty cool.
I can use it with a flash or with your regular lighting. Like, you can put it on regular light bulbs. It makes it such a wonderful glow. It's sort of those Chinese. I think they're called Chinese lanterns.
Yeah, it's a big, almost like tissue paper covered lantern, and they come in different shapes too.
That's right. Some of them are like the long, tall ones, which were great.
And there's big circular ones,
The big balls. Yeah, they're fantastic. And so I know, like, what a lot of people do is when they're shooting film, will use like Christmas lights, like. Or hang up a series of those inside the Chinese lanterns around the whole room. It just lights up the whole room in a nice, soft, even way.
Okay.
So look for that at IKEA. Go have yourself. They're about $1. So pick a few of those up next time you're at IKEA. Get some meatballs and some Chinese lanterns.
Yeah. And a few photo frames because they have good photo frames.
We should do an IKEA episode.
Yeah.
Right now. Let's go.
They need our business and our promotion, too.
The other kind of light that it's great, that works fantastic for lighting your photos, like these, we're talking about like lighting portraits or something like that. I don't know if they even make them anymore. Remember those light sticks that, like, I think that's what they were called, the lights that shoot into the ceiling?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The floor lamp that you turn on and
Yeah.
Essentially, it's just using your ceiling as a giant bounce.
Yeah, we have one of those.
They still exist?
Yep.
Because I know for a while that they were energy hogs.
Now the one we have, it used to be some fluorescent bulbs, like it was a special bulb that went in them.
Right.
And now we just have one that's got basically a regular bulb.
Okay.
Technology. And it's from IKEA.
See, those lights are fantastic. For supplementing your photo light, because it just creates this nice, big, soft light, right?
Yeah.
So this is a way to, again, sort of supplement your existing lighting. So look for something like that.
Now, do you keep that light, and maybe you're going to get to this, do you keep that light, the actual light source in your photo?
That's a good question. I try not to. Depending how much it depends on how much light it gives off and how much it registers. Because if you have your light in your shot, it's likely going to be very bright.
Right.
And so most times I try to keep my practicals out of the shot because it's just not, it doesn't give off enough light versus how much it registers on the camera.
Okay.
So that's one little tip, is to try to keep those out of the shot.
Okay.
Now, something else that makes for good... for good lighting is desk lamps. You know, like the ones that...
the long ones with the, like, the cylinder type bulbs?
Yeah, well, the ones that are mounted on your desk that swing around like the dentist. Yeah. I should have looked at the names for everything before we did the show.
The one like the starting part of like the Pixar movies productions thing where it hops around.
You know, I was going to say that and then I thought, I don't think anyone will know that.
Oh, no, I think everybody will know that.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, that's kind of how Pixar got its start. Did a short film all about that lamp.
Yeah.
And so there you go. And then turned into the iMac, but anyways. No, really, that was the inspiration, apparently.
Really?
Well, it looks the same, yeah.
I guess it does.
Guess what? He ran both companies, so.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, so yeah, your desk lamps can make nice light. They basically have that reflector kind of built in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's pretty hard light, but still looks good.
Okay.
You can buy a reflector from a hardware store, by the way, and I recommend doing something like that. Like, you really, what comes in extremely handy is one of those silver reflectors. It, not a reflector like we used to bounce the light earlier, but it's something that you screw your light bulb into, like the metal cone.
Yeah.
And if you get the one that has the clamp on it, like the sort of springy clamp, you can clamp it anywhere.
Okay.
And plug it in, and it's an incredibly handy light because you can bounce it, you can use it directly, you can put some frost in front of it to diffuse it.
Okay.
So that's why I recommend checking out that. Just get the reflector from a hardware store or one of the IKEA lanterns. The other thing to keep in mind is mixed light sources. So there's really nothing I can do to you know, tell you how to solve issues with mixed light, because you're going to get color issues is what's going to happen.
Yep, I have this problem in my own house.
Generally, I try to expose for the – I try to balance for the face. I generally want skin tones. So I try to figure out what light is the most prominent on my subject, and that's where I balance for. And then I make it black and white in post.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So sometimes you just have to play the hand that you're dealt. I mean, it'd be great if you could gel everything and balance everything out, but you can't always do that.
And you don't want to take the time most of the time.
No, no. So what I recommend is if like, let's just go over a quick setup, and then we'll boom out of practical lighting. If you're going to shoot with practical lighting, I would get one of these lanterns that we talked about. The key to me is to keep it as close to your subject as possible.
Okay.
Because although it sounds counterintuitive, the closer the lighting is to your subject, the softer the light is.
Right.
It doesn't sound like that would be true, but that's kind of what happens. So even if it's a hard light, if you have it in close, it's going to wrap around your subject nicely. So do your best to get the practical light as close into the frame. Just I keep them just out of the camera's frame.
Okay. Yeah. And good. I think that's a good tip.
There you go.
So there is one reason to listen to this episode.
There's that one tip right at the very end.
Yeah, right at the end. Yeah. Stay tuned. There might be more.
On a positive, the good thing about practical lighting versus flash lighting is that what you see is what you get. So you don't have to guess. You know, you don't have to mess around a bunch of times to figure out, okay, that's what the light's going to look like.
Right.
You can get shooting immediately.
Yeah.
And it hopefully doesn't blind your subjects. So, okay. You know
that's
what?
That's it.
That's the show.
Wow.
Next week's photo challenge.
Do you have one?
Practical lights.
Use them, find them, and use them.
That's what we're going to do.
Is there going to be anything more specific to it?
No, this week is just going to be use practical lighting. Now, okay, there is going to be more specific. I lied.
Okay.
You would have opened up a can of worms there, Adam.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be ambient light. This is going to be practical light that you actually go and set up purposely for the photo. So you're going to light a subject with a practical light. Or lights. Could be more than one.
Okay.
So that's it. That's this week's challenge.
Excellent.
So where can people find your stuff, Adam?
They can find the latest pictures on schwartzchronicles.com. So there's some skating pictures, and I'm going to post a few pictures that I just took of Jack playing with his new loop-de-loop track, which was his potty training reward, which is one of those old Hot Wheels, well, not old, Hot Wheels tracks that you basically pull back and you fire the cars and then they shoot off. And I tried to take some pictures capturing him playing with it as the car jumps off the end of the ramp. So it does the loop-de-loop and it jumps off the end. And that was surprisingly a difficult task because they fire those things fast and getting it just at the right time and without him moving to blur the picture is not easy.
Are you using a flash?
Yeah, bouncing a flash off the wall, but I did a high-speed sync because otherwise I couldn't get a fast enough shutter speed.
Right. Did you try the motor drive?
I did try the motor drive, but then I lose the flash.
Yes. It won't work with high-speed sync, that's for sure.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the pictures yet. I just did them yesterday morning, but I think I got a few that are just timed just right.
Nice.
So
I look forward to seeing those.
Okay, and what about your stuff?
As always, at alanattridge.com, and you can find both of us at twohosers.com, and everything you need to know about Twitter and Google Plus is all on there.
And look for my new book, Potty Training Masters.
Potty Training, yeah. I think we need a new title for that.
I think I'm qualified to write a book, though, because I successfully trained my two-year-old in one day, so that's all it takes, apparently. Those are the only credentials you need.
Do it. Publish it.
And we, you know, when we were trying to, I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to just nail this over the head. When we were trying to train Sarah, we read the book that was like 3-day potty training. So it's kind of like the 7-minute abs versus the 6-minute abs.
Right.
I took the 3-day potty training course and crushed it.
That's 1-day potty training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
The good news is there's absolutely nobody still listening to the show.
You'd be surprised.
So, no, I meant now at this point in the episode.
No, I think somebody's still listening.
I think early on they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to the end in case there's more potty training talk. Hopefully Adam brings it up again.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because normally it's Alan who goes on and on and on, but he's a little bit tired, so Adam picked up the slack.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had to pick it up this week.
Yeah, so that's excellent. Well, check us out at twohosers.com, and you can buy our book at his book at Amazon.
Yep.
Potty training.
You see, now you're bringing it up again.
60-second potty training by Adam Schwartz. Yeah. And that means until next week, get out there and make better photos.